This is at Trustworthy Slav.
This is at Incognito, COH.
CRKBlack.com build.
This is the Fed Post.
You mentioned China for a sec, but I'm thinking as far as like the rest of, we'll get to the trans build. We'll definitely go back to that in a second. But the Chinese lockdowns, I don't know if that's concerning to anybody. To me, it's kind of like, again, we're out of it. We're like either in the eye of the storm or we're out of it. But like that, them like locking, I don't know if you've seen the videos where the streets are like completely empty. Like that shit is concerning because, I mean, we've seen this before. I don't know if we're in a cycle, but hopefully I don't want to speak too much on it and maybe bring bad omens or whatever. But yeah, that's a little bit concerning. But last time you guys were on, we were talking about Afghanistan. That's when that happened, was the withdrawal.
10 years ago.
Yeah, it feels like fucking a century ago. But I'm curious what you guys make of this whole, you know, the general Ukraine thing, the Russia thing. I know you guys mentioned the ruble is what's up with the ruble in Russia?
It's bounced back, baby.
It's completely recovered to pre-war level.
Oh, yeah, shit.
The attempt to squash it failed miserably.
I'm at work the other day and somebody makes a joke about the ruble. They're like, how about that? I'm like, I don't know, man. And everybody like looked at me like I was fucking speaking Mandarin.
Yeah, you pull up the Forex market. You're like, take a look at it now, bud.
Yeah.
For what, like your currency being devalued compared to the dollar when you're an export economy, that's not right. Necessarily a problem anyway. But people don't understand that. Like they just, whatever shit they see on CNN, they just clap for it. Like,
but what do you guys make of the overall Ukraine thing? I mean, I don't know if it's still, I guess it's still going on. Every time there's a headline, there's like a new story about it or whatever. But I don't know. I'm pretty tuned out. I don't know.
You might as well be. I feel like it's impossible to know what's actually going on over there. I don't even know like who's winning or losing the war because I don't believe anything that anybody.
Exactly.
Same. Yeah.
Same thing with the fucking China lockdowns and shit, dude. I don't know what's going on in China. Like, I don't know what's going on. If I'm seeing it in our media, then like I'm probably not believing it or think there's some ulterior motive or maybe it's from some other time. Like, I don't fucking know.
I'm kind of with you there on that, bro, because like, to be honest, it's one of these things of like it wouldn't like faking all of that shit and just the sketchiness coming from China totally makes sense. And I'm not even like denying that. It's just all about like where the interests and where this stuff's coming from generally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I mean, China has gone pretty hard lockdown before. And like,
totally.
it's not unprecedented. And like, yeah, there's just drone footage of like the streets of Shanghai just completely empty. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, why wouldn't they, I guess, you know what I mean? Or why would they want to project that they're doing it, but they're not really doing it? I feel like their economies, what is it? They had the, what's that housing issue? The Evergrande or?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
They had that housing bubble issue, and then shortly after, there's a lockdown. Which to me, I don't know. That sounds very familiar. That sounds that sounds like it might make sense to me. Maybe I'm a conspirator or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's concerning to me. Until COVID's like completely gone everywhere, like they're not talking about it anywhere. It's like it always makes me a little apprehensive about it coming back here. But hopefully it doesn't, obviously.
If Elon Musk on Twitter said live pandemic, would you support him then?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, of course. He'd have my undying fealty. I wanted Trump to say it. I felt like it could have happened, but.
Yeah, I'll be honest. There were a couple months there where it felt like it was within reach.
Right, I mean, if Tucker is like reading my tweets and shit, you know, maybe he passes it to Trump. Like that'd be fucking
puts in a good word with Don.
And by the way, when that happened, you know, I got lit up by somebody on Twitter. They were like, "Oh, you're just such a wholesome guy, or you pretend to be, but like, why are you friends with this guy who's got this pornographic name?" And I was like, "What are you talking about? I don't. What do you mean?" And he's like, "Well, CRK's name." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Blacked.com pilled." And I didn't know what that was. Do not research, by the way.
Don't go look it up, folks.
Learn something new every day.
It's funny. There was
Mark's
one guy
so chatty, just doesn't even know what, like, porn at all. Just,
that's how wholesome. Yeah, he proved your point. That is wholesome. You didn't know, but There was one guy we tried to get on who's like, I won't say who it was. I actually don't remember his name, but like he wouldn't come on because he saw my handle and was like, nah, I'm not. Wing that crowd. And he was just like, that was the deal breaker for him.
That was actually, actually me in the very beginning of the podcast.
but yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is this, I guess the Ukraine thing is kind of, you know, I guess they're going to keep pushing that. But
I mean, what's the news on it?
I don't know. I don't think there's anything really new going. I mean, I just keep seeing headlines about it, but like
people are supposedly blowing up different places. People are pointing fingers about it, talking to the UN, talking to the goddamn Congress, getting standing ovations. Fucking
Russia pulled away from Kiev. That much is like, that's factually true. And like they're fighting in the east again. I mean,
that was the last thing I saw.
Yeah, give this like 2 or 3 years and you'll know who won the war. I guess that's kind of like, that's kind of trad, right? Like,
yeah.
In the past, you would just be inundated with propaganda about stuff that was happening half a world away and you just had absolutely no idea what the, or you're going by referencing Midway, like in real life, after the Battle of Midway, the Japanese government just, like lied to the people about it. They're like, hey, yeah, by the way, we won that battle. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well,
nothing to see here. And like they shipped the survivors off to different places and like completely covered it up. So like the capacity for the state to just lie to you about what happens in the war, even one that you're directly in, I think people underestimate that because of, you know, CNN and the Gulf War, you know, pictures of JDAMs dropping into chimneys and shit like that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, well, I guess it does, but here's how. So they do this thing where they desperately want me to feel a certain kind of way about this.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I got my own fucking problems. Like, this is like, and okay, so you want me to feel a certain kind of way. And then the thing is like, well, why? Because you guys, like, they have this Trump card where they say, because, okay, a lot of politics is rigged, but there are things that there are buttons that we do have in politics. Like the main button we have is politicians fearing getting voted out of office. And they have a special button for that. And that button is a bipartisan compromise. Basically, whenever they anything they do that's really unpopular, they make a deal. They both do it. Yeah. So you can't do shit about it. So whenever they bail out the banks, well, what are you going to do? They all, because people say like, we'll vote them all out. Okay, you're not really, unless you have unless you have someone you can punish, and that doesn't even mean that the next person will be better, but just that someone could fear being punished. Yeah. So if someone was saying like, well, you know, I would withdraw all support, and I would make peace with Russia or something, unless there's someone running for office saying that has a real chance, then yeah, you can't do anything. So I don't understand. Like, just whatever you want to do, just fucking do it. Leave me alone. Mm-hmm. It's obvious I can't do anything about this anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. That's generally how I feel about it. And just, I mean, yeah, the sympathy thing is just, I don't know. I mean, it's a cliche, obviously, but just like the amount of dictators out there, like they're talking about war crimes. Oh, Biden had slipped up and said, we need to remove him. And then they had to, his like underlings had to clear it up and be like, no, we're not going to do regime change. That's not what we meant.
Remember Covfefe?
Yeah.
By the way, so the gas, whatever. So this is the funny thing about being like America. Like, so really he could say anything. It doesn't really matter. Everyone else has to basically like behave like rational actors. And you have to assume that the United States is nuts. And that's kind of like, I don't know, like you ever like, have some kind of like violent psycho at your high school or something? Like you have to make rational decisions around them. They can do whatever they could, you know, take a shit on their desk or anything. And you just have to sort of, act around
them. Around it.
Yeah.
This is explicitly true with him. He was reported to have said to Putin that he would nuke Moscow if they attacked Ukraine. And he told Xi Jinping the same thing about Taiwan. If you invade Taiwan, I will drop nuclear bombs.
Wait, you mean Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it worked. Cause like you think like, yeah, he actually might do that.
The madman. Yeah. I remember that whole thing and him saying like, fire and fury for North Korea and all that. And, you know, that is like a strategy. Who else used it? Wasn't like Nixon used it? Right. Tricky Dick. Shout out to him.
Tricky Dick.
And like, shout out Tricky Dick. Real one. For real. No cap.
But Biden, with Biden, to me, it strikes me as just, you know, heavy dementia. It sounds like, it just seems as like not really, he's not really like, it doesn't seem deliberate. Some people were saying that it was deliberate. It was off a teleprompter, but I really feel like he just blanked out for a second and just kind of.
There's no way that was deliberate. Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
Yeah, like, of course, right? Yeah, well, people were telling me it was deliberate or it was off the teleprompter. I'm like, why are they correcting it like an hour later? Like, it,
well, I mean,
supposed to say that.
It could have been. I mean, if it, so you gotta understand, there's a lot of like crazy people that sort of have. So the things we do in foreign policy, you know, Joe Biden doesn't really have any preference. So I'm sure he does have preference from this Ukraine thing and that. But like, there are people with like strategies and ideas that sort of feed him stuff. And a lot of them are psychotic and like wanting to do everything in the world. And like, so what is Trump doing when he says I'll nuke Beijing? So this is the same thing in poker as a bluff. And if you say this and people just kind of keep going on, then he says, oh, well, he was just joking or whatever. Because your bluff failed. So you have to pretend like you never bluffed at all.
Oh, or like, or like with hitting on a girl, if it's not working at all, you just like kind of just keep moving. You're like, yeah, nothing happened. That's fine.
You have an out. You got an out.
Yeah. I was joking. I wasn't actually asking you out. It's fine.
Yeah.
Out is his dementia. Yeah. But
do you think that that's fully intentional? I mean, I won't deny, like, I think that that's taking a reality of the Biden situation and like using it to their advantage. Right. But like, I mean, I think that he honestly misspoke, you know, I think they for sure like cynically use that. But I don't think
he misspoke, but I mean, it's impossible to know. I mean, so my mind, when I'm saying that, I'm thinking of people like the Kagans and John Bolton and everyone at the Atlantic Council. They're all psychos. And like, there was a moment like around the time that he said that, they had like that was when like they were like, it seemed like the Russian military was not advancing anymore. And like there's moments where people do crazy things when they feel super confident. So, but I don't have no proof. There's no way. Well, you know, I'm just totally speculating.
Yeah. Well, that'd be some crazy 4D chess if like they know he's demented and they're like, all right, we'll let him rock, kind of check the temperature. But I mean, either way, like you're saying, without a doubt, they want to do regime change. I mean, it's an open secret. It's not really a gaffe when it's just like, yeah, we all know that's what you guys want to do. The Democrats want to do that. The neocons want to do that. It's no secret that they'd like to do that. He kind of had, ironically, like a Trump moment. He kind of ironically had a moment of like, like revealing how things, like the, what is it? The Saudi prince who like, I forget his name. Exactly. Who like chopped up that body, and he's just like, "What are we gonna do? We make money with this guy. I can't do anything about it." And Trump just said it out in the open, whereas like Obama would have like come up with like a long speech about why we can't do anything to save.
We touched the orb together. We're boys.
Exactly. Isn't the funny thing too though that like Jamal Khashoggi was just like a fucking horrible person. Like just like one of the worst of the worst. This like just journalist scum where it's like it honestly couldn't happen to a nicer guy kind of thing. I mean, not, you know, I'm not saying
I don't know anything about him.
Just reminding the listenership is all.
Yeah, we could take some notes here.
Yeah, journalists getting, you know, divided up like that. You know, I mean, yeah, it's
Jesus Christ.
But I won't say any more about that. But anyways, but yeah.
Did you see Michael Tracy wanted to embed and they wouldn't let him?
Yes.
I mean, I got to give a guy props for doing that. I mean,
it was the UN, right?
What's that?
Was it the UN? What was it?
I can't remember, but basically this, I don't remember, the State Department, the UN or something blocked him from embedding. I mean, he's a brave guy. If he's, you know, that's like the old school journalism.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What does that mean? Blocked from embedding? What does that mean?
Oh, I mean, he wanted to embed. So like basically he wanted to like go like get permission from the government to like go cover the war, like on the front lines.
And
our government wouldn't let him.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's kind of fucking, you know, wild.
There's other people like that weird guy that said he was queer, but because he was attracted to young women and older women. You see this fella?
Wait, what?
What?
Yeah, we do have a journalist there. He's a black guy. His Twitter image is like him sitting in a Humvee.
Is it Terrell Starr?
I'm not sure.
Okay. He's queer because he likes
That's him.
Older women and younger women.
That guy was like a that guy was this crazy BLM guy who after like the war in Ukraine started, he became an expert on Ukraine. He's kind of like, imagine Tariq Nasheed, but not cool.
Okay. Yeah. Let me, I got his comments here. So like, obviously, and, this is like one of the reasons why you can know that he's, like whatever, the, you know, our, whatever our Illuminati or things like that, he kind of is a bit like them. So, you mm-hmm. know, like he's got the touch. So here's his comments. And like, while he's saying this, like, you know, he's in a flak jacket, supposedly on the front lines in Ukraine. So, you know, he's getting woke up by artillery fire and he tweets this out. I've just started identifying as queer over the last 4 months. Does that make me the new queer or, but an old black? And this is the, I think most men, especially black men like me who come out later in life, is because we don't really know in ourselves. I'm attracted to a wide range of women, but not men at all. So I didn't know how to ID myself, even though I haven't felt straight in years.
What the hell, dude? What does that mean?
Dude, that's absolutely the most clever way of throwing shade at old women that I've heard in my entire fucking life. That's
not queer for liking old MILFs.
This is Rivellino the artist.
Not interested in men at all, but a total queer.
Yo, what the fuck?
I don't know, man. These people are on some next level shit.
I mean, that's the whole thing with the keyword, right? Is that it like doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's why I feel like that those studies, well, I was saying there's like those studies where they're like, oh, 20% of Zoomers identify as queer. I'm like, I'm imagining a lot of them are just like, oh yeah, I'm attracted to like, I like black chicks and white chicks, so I must be queer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a little queer. It's a little odd.
My porn search filters my categories, so I switch them up. So, you know, that means I'm queer or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm imagining a lot of these kids, like some of them are doing it for like social clout or whatever. Like, oh, I get to have a cool little flair to my identity as opposed to being a regular, boring, like just straight normal kid. You know what I mean?
But that doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. Like, look at prison. You know, people can, sexuality can be very malleable in the right social circumstances. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. None of his boys call him up and be like, "Dog, what the fuck is that shit that you're supposed to do?"
Holy shit,
dude! You gotta chill on this shit, man. Right? We ain't hanging out no more.
Imagine you get killed by rocket artillery. Like the last thing you ever said was, "You know, I think I'm queer because I like cougars."
It's like his last thought. He's like, "I gotta make sure I get this off before this artillery hits." It's like, instead of being like, "Tell my mom I said I love her," it's like, "Tell my followers I'm queer."
That's isn't fun. There like fuck like
tell your mom like, I love her.
Like, isn't there like pansexual or something where it's just like I'm attracted to people by personality or sapiosexual? Is all that stuff now like under the umbrella of like of queer? Queer of, like,
sure, dude. Fuck it.
I don't fuck.
Yeah.
It just means Democrat, really.
Yeah. Just means some sort of sicko.
So there's a new bill now, because I know COH mentioned this in the chat, was the Alabama bill to ban, that's to ban surgery, right? Trans surgery.
Yeah, and puberty blockers talking about gender identity in classrooms as well.
Gotcha. God, hour in, we're finally getting to the topic.
All in the same bill?
Yeah, well, they added a provision in the bill after it passed to block, the bill itself originally was to block puberty blockers and transition surgeries for children, make it illegal. And then they added a provision after it passed through to make it so they can't talk about gender identity in school. And then if there is a kid in their class who seems to be not matching up with their gender or whatever, teachers have an obligation to tell their parents.
Dude, they gotta keep their powder dry a little bit, because they're just gonna like cram in the entire Republican Party's electoral platform into this.
Yeah, one. That's what I was saying, dude. They're just gonna keep adding shit in.
we gotta dole it out a little more.
It's like a long scroll, like the Torah or some shit. Just like,
could you imagine being
honestly, that's actually probably a little bit more accurate than we can talk about here. Anyways, continue.
Could you imagine being in the fifth grade and you get a note sent from your teacher's like, little Timmy's kind of a pussy. We thought kids would know.
Little Timmy can't kick the ball for shit. We figured he might be abroad.
Little Timmy has shown an interest in younger girls as well as some of the older girls. We think he might be queer.
I would know how to feel about this if it was explored on Beavis and Butthead with Coach Buzzcut. I would love for these powers to be given by Coach Buzzcut.
So this bill is different than the Florida one, right? This is like
I would imagine,
I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, the Republicans are they're so naive. It's like, because like what if this bill passed and like the school is just like, okay, we did it, it's done. Like you know, the more like so what would that do to their efforts to try to like defund the schools and shit?
Yeah,
schools are like, no, we did it. It's all fine now. It's all Brady.
Right.
It's better if you can say, I mean, of course, now this isn't better. Obviously, these people have real concerns, whatever. But politicians normally, you know, the way you do politics is you need, you know, to have something to sell them.
Yeah.
And you have something to sell them by being able to say, look at all, like, because apparently, like, every psycho teacher who stays on that TikTok and they film themselves saying crazy shit.
You're like... They really do, man. The amount of shit that they're comfortable saying is kind of, it's like boomer Facebook levels of just like, my face is out here and I'm just going to say shit that really should just, I should not be comfortable being able to say.
It's like, I mean, today we were teaching 3-year-olds about masturbation in school. This is why it's great. It's like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, isn't the idea... is just that this isn't really gonna, I mean, the job kind of self-selects for these people, right? So I don't know. I think it's ultimately good, right? I mean, isn't the issue that like this is like kind of the result of these big, huge organizations that just like deal in school curriculum? And so like being able to just like take a knock on them is good as far as just like racking up a lose for your opposition.
I think there's a lot of things going on here. I think I could lay out how we got here. So
patronage, man, do the patronage thing.
So like as people have noted, it was not that long ago when the state basically said that homosexual is lesser than heterosexual in one way or another.
Yeah,
that was like the state felt that way. That changed, and then like immediately you have all this stuff. And like this stuff, I mean, there's a guy that's already canceled. It shows you how the stuff, how fast the stuff moves. But his work sort of got us there. Do you remember that It Gets Better?
Yes.
Dan Savage. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's so
Seattle.
Until that, there was no like there was no counseling with the kids. As soon as they did that, they said, well, we have to go there and counsel the kids and stuff. There's that. There's also the fact that like, so as everyone knows, like the Civil Rights Act stuff has been like kicking ass lately. A guy wrote a book that said, if you can frame anything as a civil rights gesture, then it'll win.
Yeah.
But like the laws is not really that important as much as like how the justices feel about it. And they've been shy about this. So like, and that's what's really weird is like, so the first bill they passed in Florida, I think a lot of people were assuming that the Supreme Court would just immediately step in and drop it, but they haven't. They know that we're in kind of uncharted territory here. And so like a lot of like, well, here's one of the weird things about this. So a lot of this stuff is that people are heteronormative about their kids, even in a way, like if they would accept their kid, they would perhaps prefer they would be straight, you know? But like, if you have to voice that preference, you violate the Civil Rights Act. So we're in all kinds of uncharted territory in terms of advocacy for this. I mean, really, that needs to be done by the parents. No one's going to give a shit what I have to say. The parents are going to have to stamp up, and however they feel about it is going to be the way it goes.
Yeah, as far as the bill goes, like I think that the stuff about classrooms and whatnot is kind of a, that's of lesser importance to me than them just banning puberty blockers and transition surgery for minors outright. I think that's a much bigger victory as far as like actually stopping harm in a tangible way than like, you know, what you were talking about it maybe just kind of takes away some firepower if they just get them to stop talking about this in school. It takes away a little bit of the conservative firepower, which may or may not be a good thing, actually. And so that's maybe like up in the air on kind of how good that is, how useful that is, but or if they even can enforce something like that. But them actually banning puberty blockers and transition surgery for minors is like, in my mind, that's a huge net good.
There's a non-zero amount of people who will vote Republican over just this.
Yeah.
And I don't think that works backwards. I'm not saying that means one thing or the other, but there are people I've thought to
to say that we're going to ban like hormonal treatment for people under 18 or, God forbid, like genital mutilation surgery. That's like last ditch defense position.
Of course.
Okay, fine. You can do all this stuff, but you gotta wait till you're 18. Like, no, like you have to, like the only way to stop this is to stop it at its source. Like,
yeah. Ban it outright.
This was not an issue 5 years ago. I mean, or I guess maybe it was if you were in like the UK and were like some fringe situation. Like now this is everybody's problem and it's happening incredibly quickly. And it could be ended just as quickly. Like, for example, people talk about the bill in Florida, but you could have gone further than that. Like, actually, how about an actual anti-grooming bill where it's just like somebody talks to your child without your permission about transsexual stuff, like that you can just fucking sue them in court. Like they could do that tomorrow. They could make that civil liability tomorrow, and that would cover teachers. It would cover school counselors. It would cover pretty much anybody, NGO babies. Like bam, you could do that. You could do that tomorrow.
Yeah, I think there's definitely better ways to solve it. But I mean, just like having a single place that's just able to say, actually, you know, this shit's sick, and make a stand in some sort of significant way, even though it's not actually solving the whole process. And then getting like Jen Psaki to get on the fucking White House briefing and talk about, well, actually, that's very wrong to block that. And puberty blockers and transition surgeries are, quote unquote, best practice for trans children. And we're going to bring hell down on anyone that's trying to stop that. I think that's like useful in itself.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost unbelievable. Like we're 7 years out from the gay marriage ruling in the Supreme Court. Like we're 7 years out from gay people are allowed to get married, and now we're here where the White House press secretary is saying like this is actually not only allowable, it's what you should do.
Yeah,
nobody, you would have been called the craziest Pat Robertson nut job if you said this 3 years ago.
Yeah, that shit kind of blew my mind. Like that was the last straw. I was like, holy shit, they're actually saying that like on the White House briefing. It's not even like sleight of hand or nothing anymore. They're just full on running with that at like the highest level. And it's not even like AOC and crew. It's fucking Biden's like, you know, his lackeys, people who are like just actually in the government. I don't know. It's super fucked.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, I have to say, though, I'm like a little bit disappointed by the fact that, I mean, maybe I just am not seeing the full picture as much as I could be or something. But it kind of seems like, and this was my joke when we first started talking about this, is like, oh, they better keep their powder dry because that's like their whole platform in one bill, right? Like, I guess the RNC is like running on trans stuff for the midterms as opposed to like COVID or the economy or like seemingly anything else. And again, I don't know, maybe I'm just not seeing all of it, but like it's a little disappointing.
Well, no, I mean, I don't think that. So like I think so the House race is going to be defined by loyalty to Donald Trump, I believe. Okay. Because so everyone who signed the what do you call it? The thing that said Trump should be
impeachment.
Everyone that said Trump should be impeached. None of them are running again. So that, I mean, that tells
you some of them are running, but they're being primaried. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and like their primary person is running on, basically a January 6th platform in terms of, the way they voted. So, I mean, that's the House. Who knows? I don't even know who's up in the Senate. It doesn't seem like senators really give a shit what people vote about anyway. So,
well, politically, you can look at the Virginia election that we just had and running on a platform of we're going to stop them from messing with your kids is an extremely popular platform, even for people who skewed blue in the last election. So, I mean, as far as making that your platform.
There's a lot of things out there. So like the Virginia guy, I mean, that was in there, but like it seemed like there were other things as well. So like the that. So the stuff about what did he do? The magnet schools and stuff. So when people are in the mode to worry about that, they worry about that like a lot. Yeah. There's things like that. I mean, obviously, there's going to be gas. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there.
He was losing until the election became about people messing with your kids. And I don't mean just specifically the transsexual stuff. Like, it was other stuff. It was the education system in general. But, like, that is a platform that you can run on. Like, your party can run
okay,
on.
Okay, well, why is Caitlyn Jenner a Fox News correspondent?
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't matter. We're talking about the election.
Okay.
It's kind of mixed messaging, I guess. You're right. It's not the same thing.
I mean, isn't Caitlyn Jenner only electorally relevant to Californians?
Well, I mean, it's clearly not the whole platform. I mean, I don't think of voters thinking that way. There's like different things they think about and things that they think about more sharply, like at the moment. So even if there's something like they really don't like, it matters like how much it's sort of like knocking at their door. But that's just my theory. But I don't know. Well, we'll see. I mean, so this will be we'll know the answer to this question in like 3 months? Like what the candidates sort of say they're going to do?
I mean, yeah, I think this is definitely the most salient issue on the right now, from what I can tell. I mean, I feel like inflation is a big one. I feel like that's like an easy, I don't know. To me, that seems like an easy one to, I mean, it's not like people aren't going to talk about it. It's such an easy thing to hammer.
I mean, in any other election, that would be like the only thing being talked about.
But what do they even have to tangibly offer to counter that anyway? Like they're not going to be able to put a bill out in states that are like, all right, no more inflation rising in this state, like they can with the trans kids thing.
But do you even have to really give a proposal, really? I mean, I feel like in politics, you can just get away with saying like they caused this. They're the reason why.
Yeah, of course, they're going to. That's a trend.
Spending is how you say you're going to counter inflation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that's
not just like a empty promise. He's like, that's literally one of the ways that you can curb inflation.
Yeah. The value. Yeah. There's a good phrase for this, but I don't know right now. But like, yeah, if you cut government spending by a ton, then inflation would go down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's as far as like new things, because like crime and immigration are always like, and abortion, those are like constant things, but they're not really like in flux. There's nothing like there's not too much like drastically changing. I mean, yeah, I guess the migration influx has been going up. There's been these two things I feel like are the most salient immediate things within this range from the midterms, is like the inflation, the supply chain, COVID's kind of tapping out, and like the trans kids shit is huge.
Drilling could come back. That's already playing in some states and stuff.
Drilling, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is the economic answer. It would make a lot of sense.
I mean, what I saw that like kind of like fried my brain was like, there were these headlines about these trans bills, or the Alabama one. Uh-huh. And they were saying like denying these bills are like denying health care for trans kids. Like, yeah. The language is so convoluted.
It's obfuscatory as fuck, dude.
Healthcare for confirming trans, like it was just like a word salad or whatever. And I was like, this is a, you know, obvious point, but like the way they just like generated, like AI generated that headline was just so forced. And like, I don't know, personally, it annoys me that this is like conflated with fucking healthcare as an issue, because it's like it's I mean, I'm saying the obvious. Everybody who's listening to this, this is the obvious thing, but this is not a fucking healthcare issue. Obviously, mm-hmm. It's not a fucking healthcare issue. But, you know, even within like their own reasoning, it doesn't make sense, because you can be trans with you could have a dude's body and say you're a girl and be trans. Right. That's what they say. Right. So then why do you? The surgery is not medically necessary. You're not going to die if you don't get the surgery. You know, it's cosmetic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what their reasoning is.
It's
just, I mean, like,
did you see Rogan's debate with Adam Explains Everything guy?
No.
Yeah. Oh, it was savage.
It was pretty good. I mean, they just talked about it. I mean, I don't even really know how to summarize it, but I mean,
just like, ask them to explain their position, because it doesn't make any fucking sense to anybody. The other day was like, you know, AOC said, like, I don't understand how you just can't accept that you're the, what a woman is. Like, well, bitch, tell us what is a woman. Just say it.
Yeah.
Say it out loud. Any of them, just tell us what is a woman. I mean, because the obvious answer, what they believe or what they profess to believe, is like, you're a woman if you say you're a woman.
Yeah.
Everybody on planet Earth knows that's completely retarded.
It's like that the Supreme Court woman who just kind of froze up when she was asked it. But
yeah, I'm not a biologist.
Oh, by the way, so I have this list. So there is a list going on. This was heavily polled. So what are the top issues going into the midterms? So number one is inflation by far. Like, there's not much.
It's an easy, yeah, of course. Easy.
Number two is coronavirus.
Really? That's surprising.
I don't know what they mean by that. That is strange.
I would assume policy around it, lockdowns, things like that, right? I mean, well, anyways,
yeah. Masks and vaccine, yeah. Well, I mean, just general, fuck them, because they're tied to it. They're the face of it or whatever. Yeah.
There's no reason to go to rest. Like, really, it's inflation, coronavirus. Everything else is sort of specific to, like it's funny, like the voting right. In other words, like the rules to how you vote, which I don't really consider that, like, you know, that's not like a people's issue. That's like, you just want to win it more than the other person, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the only argument I've heard them make about this is that, as to why it is a health thing, is like, oh, they're going to kill themselves if they don't get the surgery.
That's literally the argument.
Right? Yeah. That's the sole thing, right? Because what other medical argument can you make? That's it, right? But that's psychological. And if we're talking about psychological shit, then that opens up, like, then what are we counting as, like, you know, you can't conflate, like, mental health shit. I'm not saying mental health shit doesn't matter, but you cannot conflate that shit with medical bills.
No, like, that's psycho, like, ex-girlfriend shit. Like, oh, if you leave me, I'm going to kill myself. You're like, whoa.
Yeah, and they did this to these people, which is the worst part. It's like, if Slob said that he was a fish, and we agree, like, yeah, you're right, Slob, you are a fish, and we all affirm that. And he's like, and now I need to have surgery to get scales and fin, and you don't think I'm going to hang myself.
Yeah, like, I'm holding a gun to my head the whole time, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's like, we've contributed to that. This is partially our fault. And in the case of young people, it's like straight up entirely the fault of these insane pink-haired ladies on the libs of TikTok video. Like, they're teaching these kids that shit. It's like, it's entirely, it's this weird kind of emotional blackmail where, like, you have to let these people mutilate themselves because we told them these stupid ass lies about how reality works.
Yeah.
It's really kind of sad. There's this,
it's super sad, dude.
There's this like chapter in Infinite Jest where this kid they're talking about, he went on to, like, win the big tennis tournament, and he has, like, nothing to do with any of the schools that participate in it. He just, like, showed up on the court with, like, a pistol, and he just, like, put it up to his head and just, like, played every match just, like, with the threat that he was going to blow his brains out if they didn't let him win every match. And so he just wins he wins like three tournaments by doing this. And this is a little bit of an aside, but that's just, like, kind of what I think about whenever this topic comes up. It's just
gotta want more. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I think that, I mean, CRK, you were talking like a few minutes ago about the, like, this stuff gets, like, conflated as healthcare now. And, like, dude, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm being, like, a pessimist here, but, like, this is healthcare on the left now. Like, this is what they turned, I guess, the Bernie stuff into. Is it will just be this going forward.
And this is what makes me angry about it, is that then, you know, sometimes when I'm talking to people on the right about this, they're like, oh, why should we have free healthcare? They're just gonna, you know, it's purely going to function as giving trans surgeries or something. And this is key to why I think the trans surgeries aren't, it's like not a common thing, right? Like, that's objectively true. The puberty blockers, I don't know. Maybe you guys know more about that. I don't know anything about that, really. Maybe that is, that's
I would have to imagine common. That they're less common still.
Yeah,
I can't imagine the kid stuff is that. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, the it's all generally uncommon, but, like, the surgery thing. So if the left takes that on as, like, this is a healthcare issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's bottom line, like, quantifiably cheaper because nobody's really getting it. So it's like, all right, if we put this, it's like when Kamala talks about we're going to give, like, this business loan to, like, this, you know, POC by POC person who operates in this neighborhood, for this many years with this many credentials. Like, it was so specific that it doesn't really mean anything. That's what it is, where it's like, that's what I think the left's angle is with a lot of economic things, just like so marginal that they get to claim to take credit for it. And it really amounts to nothing, but then they can make it as this big victory thing. But again, like, that's, I know we probably disagree on all this, like me and everybody here, but like, I don't think this is like, it's not like there's like a surgery is, I just looked it up, it's like $25,000.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. Again, look, I don't know what these kids are like now. Okay. Like, I was not really a very impressionable person. I've never been that way, but like, I understand that kids are impressionable. And like, you know, the teen girls like hurting themselves and like suicidal because they're like, you know, depressed on Instagram and all this shit. So that's and they're isolated with COVID and all that. So I understand they're like, they're fucked up, obviously. But like, I don't know. Like, it's so hard for me to imagine that somebody tells me that because I have like one thing that's not perfectly masculine, I'm not like a stereotype of what masculinity is, that I should cut my dick off. And I say, yeah, I'm going to do that. I cannot put myself in that mindset. And I know the argument is like, these kids are very impressionable, and it obviously it works on some of them, of course. I just can't imagine that it works on a sizable amount of these kids. I really can't. And I feel like the easier thing is that people are just lazier and lazy and opportunistic, and they'll just say, oh yeah, you know, I'm queer, like that reporter say, because I like, you know, tall and short girls. And then you get to get some credit for that. And like, that seems so much easier to me than I'm going to cut my dick off. So much easier. Like, you still get the clout, you still get the credit and yeah, the victimhood points, but you don't have to like $25,000 to cut your fucking dick off or take these puberty blockers that are permanent. Like, that seems like such a big, maybe these kids are all brainwashed. Maybe I just don't know. Maybe they're all like completely fucked in the head. It's just, I just can't personally relate to it. I can't imagine myself being that impressionable.
Okay. So I looked it up. In the UK in 2010, there were like 10 children being treated medically as transsexual. Mm-hmm. Looking at it in 2022, I don't know if this is a total number or just the waiting list. 5,500 children are now on the NHS waiting list for gender swap treatment after post-lockdown
surgery. It's exponential.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter how minor it was a year ago. You can wake up in 10 years and it's 10% of the children. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it could.
Yeah. I mean, dude, CRK, if you're saying, oh, well, I think it's mostly just people that are saying that for, you know, because it's easier and they can get a little clout or whatever. Well, if that number goes up, though, from 2% to 20% in the course of a year, then the other numbers downstream of that are going to go up that exponentially as well, dude. Even if some of them are just half-hearted or whatever, there's going to be a bunch of people. When you get everyone on the – if you get that number to 100%, everyone's like, yeah, I'm queer, and they're saying this, most people just for clout or whatever, then you're going to have a fuckload of people that are – super twisted up, that are like, your trans number is going to be going way up too, along with that, because you're like moving the goalposts a little bit and you're putting people on less and less sure footing. Like, these kids, specifically kids that are in Gen Z and younger, that are the most impressionable right now, that are being taught these things in schools, etc. These are kids who have just spent the last 2 years of their life, or maybe just one for some of them, learning virtually, being locked away from other children. Referential points of knowing, this is like what it is to be a child, this is what it is to be a girl, this is what it is to be a boy, this is what it is to exist in the reality of like actual material life. And they're losing that footing more and more and more. And we talk about the hyper reality all the time. It's, they're building that up. Everything is becoming hyper real. Nothing is actually materially based anymore. Nothing's tied to tangible, factual reality. It's all just kind of ideological whimsy of just, you know, how do you think and feel right now? Well, if we keep people on that footing, then it's not a far jump to just, I can chop my dick off and become this thing, especially if it's not $25,000, dude. Like, you're talking about, don't we just give people health care? And like, I think this is something that's just causing people to be anti-free healthcare, which I agree with. I think that's for sure something that's driving it. And I don't think that we should be. Like, I think that it'd be sick to have free healthcare. I'd like to go to the hospital when I need to. It'd be nice. But also, like, you're also saying in the same breath, well, these surgeries are $25,000, so no one will ever do it anyways. Well, if you eliminate that price barrier, then more people will obviously do it. and you eliminate right. people's like footing and the reality of actual material world and tying to their biology, then that number just keeps going up and 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 up. Slippery fucking slope, dude.
I mean, I will say, because I kind of have to say it, because exactly what COH is saying, you know, you make that less of a hurdle and the number's going to go up big time. I like know somebody personally who did have reconstructive surgery. And I'm pretty sure a big part of that is just the way that my state subsidizes.
I was about to say, they give grants and shit for that, dude.
Yeah, they literally do. I remember, I always think about this thing. I don't know if this is that uncommon of a thing that's said, but people talk about like, you know, one reason for why a lot of like young millennial broads and shit don't want to have kids is, I mean, like, I don't know, maybe they're like working in a coffee shop and they like encounter like a screaming kid or, sorry. One of the reasons why they don't want to have them, but one of the reasons why they're so easily going along with like psyops that are antinatalist and shit like that is like, yeah, maybe they like work in some, you know, retail or something where they're encountering really petulant, horrible children. But like people are like large amounts of young people are like totally alienated from like actual like children, right? You know what I mean? Like you don't have, I don't know, like nieces or something that you're helping taking care of or shit like that. And it kind of paints like an unrealistic view of the world to you. And this topic is interesting because it is just one of these things of like, dude, children are fucking wild, dude. They're fucking learning machines. And yes. like, yeah. And yeah, dude, like a huge, there is an underlying humongous factor of biology in gender and all of that stuff. Right. But like, it, you know, it's not some crazy progressive insight to say that like a humongous share of gender roles and behaviors and all of that stuff is socialized, and you right. learn that shit from the shit around you. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I don't really think that it's so much like being impressionable, like whether or not you're being impressionable. It's just like children just are by virtue of what they are like designed to be impressionable.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
I got a question here. So you're a little bit, I think you guys, you're a little bit younger than me. When you in school for like sex ed, did you learn about like the concept of gender versus sex?
No. But I went to school in Alabama. So
I actually didn't even encounter that distinction between those concepts until I was like 23, probably. Like, I was well out of high school by the time I encountered that.
Same for me. But the thing is, that's a concept that's like, it's a little bit older than my mother, right? Mm-hmm. Like that this is a concept that was cooked up in the like late 50s, early 60s.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The concept of gender versus sex. It's not a real thing. It's just, it's completely fucking made up.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that sounds insane to say because of how like it's a huge debate.
Because the consensus has been made now. But no, you're right. And I think that's the other thing that this kind of touches on that I wanted to mention too, is that it's like, yeah, it's a good point you're making, CRK, where you're talking about like, this is like, we're not talking about something casual here. We're talking about like something really extreme, right? Like that is a pretty high degree of convincing people of crazy shit, right? But like,
this motherfuckers just locked themselves in a house for 2 years and wore plastic on their face, breathed in microplastics for 2 years over some shit that doesn't even kill people.
Well, so, like that huge 100% that also like this stuff has kind of been baked into just like historical and cultural narratives in a pretty holistic way in education and culture. You know what I mean? Like it's sort of all consuming, and you look at every bit of the animal that is like education, what we're kind of socializing and bringing these kids up on, and like this permeates all of it. So I think it's a little bit less of a insane sell than we might think.
Yeah, I get what you mean about they are innately impressionable, and they did go, a lot of people really did believe the COVID shit. But I think what's different about it is like COVID, there's like your fear of dying, like there's self-preservation. Cutting your dick off is something that, again, maybe I'm just not in tune with what like the younger people are thinking like, or maybe I'm just weird or whatever, but like, I'm not weird for this, obviously, but like the idea of like, But the idea of like, you know, cutting your own dick off is so fucking, it's against everything in your natural wiring, right? And like, there's a self-preservation thing that like, you're just not going to, most people are not going to want to do that. And to counter program against that, it takes a lot more than the other things. The other things are like, oh, you go outside, you talk to somebody, you might catch this flu that you don't really understand and it's going to kill you. That I could understand, like, maybe you're dumb. You just don't really understand, like, how this works. You don't understand the incentives and you believe, like, oh, shit, if I go outside, I'm going to die from this flu. Okay. But, like, to cut your own dick off, I don't know. Again, this sounds very crude the way I'm wording it, but it's so, like, intrinsic and instinctual that I, you know what I mean? Like, it's yeah. There's a bigger leap there.
Well, how many people do we think, like, especially adolescents, when you're all hormonal and weird, like, what percentage of those people don't, I'm trying to be really nice about this, like, they're weirdos who, like, they're not going to fit into the hierarchy because, like, there's a when I went to school, there was this guy, and in the locker room, everybody would call him gay, right? He wasn't gay or anything, but just, like, he, because of how he looked and kind of acted.
Because he was just a little bit different than everybody, so it was awesome fact.
People made his life miserable.
Yeah.
Like, in 2022, I'm not saying he would have done this, but, like, it would have, for, like, he would have moved up in the hierarchy if he had put on a dress and said, I'm a woman. And like, this is a crazy thing to like a normal person. Because, like, there would be no reason for you to do that. However, there are people who will, you know, whore themselves out in prison for, like, a pack of cigarettes or whatever. Yeah. Like, if the incentives line up, people will just do whatever it takes to mm-hmm. get into the hierarchy to some extent.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think this is ever going to be, like, a huge – I think for the reasons you laid out, like, biological reasons, this is never going to be a huge part of society. However, it doesn't have to be. If you had 2 to 3% of adolescents, like, turning transsexual – that would, like, one thing, that would be a demographic crisis.
I know, our demographics would collapse.
I only saying that because that would be, like, the spiritual problem would be a lot worse than that. But, like, just demographically, it would be a problem. And you're going to have these people who, in the perverse incentive for the people in charge is, here, you've got a person who now they are going to be a lifelong consumer of expensive drugs. You're not going to have to worry about them, having kids or doing any of those things. They're going to be reliably politically in one corner. Like, you're going to get a permanent customer for your political party as well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of incentives lining up that could encourage people who were edge cases who might not have fit into the social order very well, but in the past you would have just had to. Like, you just have to marry an ugly chick and get on with your life. Like, but that we don't do that anymore. Now you can put on a mini skirt and join a DSA.
Yeah. And, like, it does seem insane, but, like, also children believe insane shit easily all the time. Like, you could just tell them, you know, the clouds in the sky are made of fucking cotton candy. And if it's like a 4 or 5 year old, they're like, oh yeah, definitely. That's true.
Hey kid.
Until someone tells them otherwise. And if no one's ever fucking telling them otherwise, then the clouds are goddamn cotton candy.
Right. Until proven otherwise. Like, fucking, hey kid, there's a tiny woman with wings that's going to fly into your room tonight and take that tooth out from under your fucking pillow.
Yeah,
dude. And it's going to leave you a little bit of currency. She's buying your teeth. We're letting her in. Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
Come on, you son of a bitch.
Oh, no. Content warning.
But most of this issue is like, this is why I was talking about the voting things, is like, no matter like how dire it is, you're worried about it for like other people, right? So I would exclude like all the parents there, but like for most people that like, and like not even every parent, but like parents that they have their kids certain age, whatever, they're going to be like feeling this immediately. Okay, but like no matter how intense that is, well, there's like other shit. It's like so Biden's been in office like how long? Like a year and some change.
Yeah.
Okay, like there's like 10% inflation already.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if we go 4 years. It's like, whatever your Patreon money buys you, it's going to buy you half. This issue will fade in the background, I think, as inflation rises up. It's like you people will feel like at least to some extent they could like they could talk to their children. They could influence that. Maybe these other children, maybe teachers will get to them and stuff. But no matter how intense it is, it will be to other people. And if it's not to their own kids, they will feel like they can influence it some. And by the way, like you could do everything to the kids. You could do everything to the school. You could do everything to the doctors and stuff. And they could still do stuff online and get like. People fucking buy heroin online. I'm sure they can buy this shit. So I think inflation will rimrock this issue. That may not be relevant or anything, but we're only in 10%. Like if inflation went away, like I could see that. But yeah,
the inflation thing I think it's already visible now, and I don't even like really. Like I've said, I don't even 100% attribute it just to Biden, obviously, or like even just the Democrats, but like they're the face. If I was doing GOP strategy, not that I would care about that, but like it's like an easy layup. Like they're just exposed on that, like completely exposed. It's so visceral. It's like you go to the fucking pump, you get killed there. You go to the fucking grocery, you get killed there. Or there's like supply chain issues. Like it's fucking, it's like in electoral politics strategy, that's like it's a gimme. It's right there. Like it's, and well, I mean, yeah, of course, it's just going to get worse. Like
if the government hands out less money, or they tax people more, then there will be less green bucks flying around. Then inflation goes down. I mean, it's that simple. They either have to raise taxes or they have to stop giving away as much money.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like the COVID bailouts were just like a huge chunk of that. And I mean, I guess people could attribute that to Trump and to the GOP as well. But like, I mean, you know, it is again, the Democrats are like the front face of it. They're the ones who are like,
this is, I mean,
enthusiastic about it.
Yarvin took a lot of heat for saying Trump should not win this one. This is one of his points. He said whoever's going to be holding the bag right now is going to eat the bill for basically propping up the economy fake for like 2 years. And like a lot of that shit, I don't even know if it's coming back. I know some of you guys live in New York. Like, have people, the businesses moved back and shit?
There's always like some of the older small businesses are just permanently gone.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of vacant. I haven't seen them. The nature of New York is just constant. It's all transient. Things just keep shifting. And, you know, every store is just constantly rotating in and out. It's like 60% fail rate for restaurants or whatever. So that's the norm. But yeah, there's been a lot of just empty ones where it's just like, all right, I used to go here. I remember this was here. And it's just, it wasn't a chain and it's just gone. And it's just still empty. It's just dark and empty. And
So I've been mining the woods. There's just like a lot of it's almost like there was like a memo that got sent out. That's like, if you closed because of COVID, your windows and doors need to just have like plywood boards put up over them now. Real, like dude. That is the look.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know. Maybe that's a bad thing to joke about. But
no, I don't live in New York or Seattle. But I did live in Denver for a while. Then I moved to a Midwestern city now. And in Denver, after COVID, in the shutdowns and after the BLM stuff, almost every shop downtown for a significant period of time was just, you know, plywood windows up. I don't know how it is now because I moved. But the city that I live in now. You go downtown and literally every fucking storefront is for lease, is vacant, has been sitting there vacant. It's really like walking through a fucking ghost town. And it's not even like COVID was like the most serious thing here like it was in New York or anything, but the economic consequences still rippled through. And in a place like this where there's not the plethora of people and business opportunities or investment, you know, motherfuckers up there like they are in New York, they just kind of fall by the wayside until, you know, places get so cheap that then, you know, a big developer will come by and just buy it all up and turn it into some stupid bullshit. But like right now, it's just like walking through a ghost town going downtown.
This shit is real, man. Like, and so remember these last, so 2 years we've had 10% inflation. So has anybody here got a 10% raise?
No, fuck no.
Okay, so you're 10% poor. I mean, and that number could be pretty soft. There's a lot of things that are up way more than 10%. There isn't too much that's gone up less. You know, yeah, so exactly. You realize that just means we're getting poor. We're becoming poor people like every day.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's like, you know, I don't know if people, like realize that, or I'm sure they do realize it because like you get a raise, but you have to factor in that raise is buying less. And that's why, the cost of living increases is just like a, it's just a sneaky thing that's just been adding up over time. And I mean, it's just it's very, I don't know, it's very visceral now.
It's, well, now it's added up an insane amount over the last year and a half.
Yeah. I mean, so do you guys feel like as far as the midterms, do you think so? I mean, the Dems strategically, right? Just on all these issues, they look pretty fucked.
Well, they were going to get.
Should be. I mean, I don't know, but if people are fucking crazy, maybe they. To me, it's like it's a no brainer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gas is insane. Inflation is insane. They should be run out on a damn rail.
Well, so. They were going to take a beating no matter what. And I don't mean that as a compliment. So, like, if you win the presidency, on average, there's been like very few exceptions, like four exceptions, you lose about 10 seats in the House and like 2 or 3 seats in the Senate. So that happens, like, even if no matter what, even if things are happy. Yep. So now you look at on top of that, like, you know, we were like 2 or 3 years ago, I don't know, maybe a year ago, things moved so fast. Like, where the only thing like that was in the way of them doing anything they wanted was like Joe Manchin and Sinema. That's going to be like, they're going to get beat up in the midterms. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. So that's the feeling is just, they're probably going to get swept up. And I think everything kind of indicates that at this point, barring some big change in what's, but there's just too many things. There's too many different fronts that are just like, optics wise.
And I say get swept up, but like, so in terms of voting Democrat and Republican, so we have a very efficient system. So like most people out there, like, you know, which part, like, so most, I don't know, say most people, a lot of people, it's not totally apparent that like one party or another is better for them. Like, most of us, like, especially if you're younger and stuff, that may not be apparent. Some people, like, they just know. So like, I know somebody that worked at a biotechnical place, and like the Democrats give them money, Republicans don't. And it's like, it's that simple.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people like that are just sort of directly dealt into it. And so like in terms of getting swept, I mean, like we have like a very efficient system. So like someone gets killed if they lose, like, I mean, if they, you win like a monster, like if you win like 58-42, you know? So I say getting smashed and like destroyed, but like that's relative to the American system, which is like a tight ship, like a 55-45 is a blowout.
Right. Yeah, I think that's pretty likely to happen. I guess after Obama in 08 in 2010, wasn't there like there was a flip back the other way, right, on the midterms? Does anybody remember that?
Yeah, he had a supermajority, and he had a supermajority, but we still couldn't get the public option. I remember it was really funny, he lost a shit. I actually think over the course of his presidency, the Democrats lost like 1,000 seats in like state legislatures to something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
Just like a historical choke. Incredible.
The other thing that's gonna hurt them is just being midterm election in general, because like a lot of Democrat people vote more in presidential than.
Voters.
I could dance around, but basically, old white people vote in midterms and vote in like every election. And so
Republicans vote really consistently.
Yeah.
Reliably.
And what do you guys think in terms of like voting irregularities or like different races, like where they say, hey, you know, we're taking a week to call this one. What are the odds you guys think that's going to be a common thing this time?
Oh, man, I think the scale with this.
The House is hard to do that in.
Yeah, I was going to say I think that underpins how seriously I take all elections now going forward. But like this is just like a little bit of a different beast also, just with the like going back to the well so soon for something so egregious. Like, I just don't see it being as viable in this case.
Oh, I don't doubt these people.
I mean, hey, man, I'm still saying, you know, like nothing will surprise me, you know, but I don't know, man. I feel like something like 2020 is something that, which obviously, you know, that's all I'll say. I won't say in any more certain terms. I think like something like 2020, that's like something you like call in a few favors for. That's like you stretching yourself a little bit, in my opinion.
I want to make a crazy proclamation. The Republicans are going to pick up 48 House seats.
Fucking madman.
So
you heard it here first.
I don't think that outright cheating really matters anymore now that at least for most things. And now that we've had this, like, what really is going to matter? Like, because we've had this introduction with the Facebook guy of unsolicited absentee ballot. Mm-hmm. That basically, like, if you can do that, the Democrats win because they get all the NGO people. Someone comes to your house, they help you vote and stuff. They automatically win anywhere that they'll get that. If they don't, then they won't. That was what they tried to. That was what their big dream to get. Manchin and Sinema help them would basically guarantee that nationwide. If they don't, you know, but in some places, though, I'm sure they'll get that.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really speak to that too much, but I think I think that the big rigging stuff, or sorry, fortifying stuff mm-hmm. that we've seen, mm-hmm.
securing.
I don't think we'll see anything to that degree for a little while.
I think the most significant aspect of the fortifying and securing is not necessarily the physical fortifying and securing that happens after the vote's casted, but all of the information channels that are controlled and run before the vote is casted. I mean, and also, like you're saying, Bog, like the absentee ballots and just changing the way that things operate completely. I think that so much has been changed now in the way that we interact with politics in general and with news and with culture that you don't even need to pull out the stops like you had to or like they may or may not have done fortifying the election this past time.
Thank you for using the phrases, by the way.
Yeah.
I wonder. Yeah. I mean,
trying to stay secure, safe on hand.
I'm just trying to fortify the podcast.
Yeah.
Patriots are in control.
Yeah. That's the thing about Elon Musk that's unfortunate about him being like sort of flirting with conservatism. We'd be better off if every one of the billionaires just picked one side.
Yeah. Well, of course.
That would be awesome. Instead, like, and like, because of, I don't know, there's things like balance of power and stuff. It makes it so appealing that, like, even if like seven of them are Democrat, like the one of them, like threatening to come over gives people such, that's such a big deal that they'll like, oh, thank you, Elon. Thank you for being standing up for Republican value. Mm-hmm. It'd be awesome if they were all, Democrat.
Yeah. And I think for the mail-in ballots and all that, like they'd have to ramp up the COVID fear again, because right now it's pretty much dead. Like even in New York, they've stopped giving a fuck about it. So they'd have to ramp that up again if they want to, or maybe, I don't know, maybe we're just in a remote world now.
Where a lot of places have remote mail-in ballots that have nothing to do with COVID and lockdowns.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing is like, generally you, most places you need to like set up like weeks before the election that you would like an absentee ballot. And like, it would cost a lot of money to do that. But, this is where Zuckerberg stepped in 2020 that he basically bought all these absentee ballots and,
Shit.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Damn. Well, that makes the story a lot simpler, yeah. But yeah, I guess it is an expensive thing. And, but yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, in general, so many things have just become remote by default now, or just like remote work is still like a common thing.
Yeah.
Even though nobody's panicking over COVID, certain things have just become the new norm, the standard now. So,
dude, remote work has become for labor politics on the left what trans stuff is for healthcare politics on the left. Like it's like it's just taking it over entirely. Like there's not even any posturing that PMC fucking gremlins are like completely at the at the helm because all of the shit I see online now talking about like real tangible economic politics is just all about how much like just like horrible blob people that watch every Marvel thing don't want to go back into the workplace.
Yeah.
I get a real kick out of it, to be totally honest with you.
Do you guys think they'll have the required vax card to vote?
Oh no, for sure not.
I don't think that'll be legal.
That well yeah, also yeah. also like don't they want don't they like want I'm not gonna finish that, but that would be disastrous. That would be disastrous for certain. That was part one of our episode. If you'd like to listen to part two, you can find that at patreon.com/fedpost. Thanks for listening.